God, we pray that you open our hearts. You help us to understand this journey of forgiveness, this journey through Lent that prepares our hearts for the resurrection of Christ's head. Amen.
Amen.
As we continue our Lenten journey with this topic of forgiveness, we again return to the ideas that we carry with us about what forgiveness is, and dispel some of the myths of what people believe forgiveness to be, but maybe is a little bit inaccurate. In the book, Healing Racial Divides, Terrell Carter speaks of what are we called to as followers of Christ. Those of us who claim Christ as Savior, what does that truly mean? Does it mean that we just say some words and then that gets us there? Or does that mean that we are radically transformed in the same? Ideally, we, of course, are radically transformed. And not just individuals, because this whole Christ follower thing isn't just about, you know, you and Jesus, me and Jesus. This is about community. We follow Christ in community. Carter says, when we see and treat each other as equals, when we hold the Christ teaching about love, honor, and grace above our political principles, and when we hold ourselves to the standard that we hold others, and when we live as we understand we cannot change the world on our own, then healing will begin. Restoration will occur, and God's kingdom will be manifested before our eyes. When we acknowledge that we cannot do it alone, when we figure out that we must do it together. The hard thing about doing things together is that means you have to deal with people, right? Right? Like sometimes, have you had this experience of, you know, sometimes just, oh, fine, it's just easier to do it on my own, right? I can very safely say that today because Ruben's not doing the sound, that as a parent of teenagers, we often run into that. Oh, just do it on my own. But what good does that do to the others, right? What good does that do to our community, to our family, if we each decide, I'm just going to do this by myself. I don't need other people. No, we have to interact with people. No matter how big of an introvert I am or you might be. And when we interact with people, what do? Is it perfect all the time? No. We make mistakes. We mess up. We hurt people's feelings. We say the wrong thing. And then we come to this idea of forgiveness. As we've discussed throughout Lent so far, forgiveness is often misunderstood. There's like this idea that we need to just forgive and forget, right? I'm pretty sure everyone's heard that phrase at some point. Forgive and forget. The problem with forgetting is that it does not open the door for transformation. If we believe that every time we are wrong, or every time we do something wrong, that everything should just be forgiven and forgotten, then how does that bring about change? We don't want to inflict the idea of forgiveness on people. We don't want to force the idea of forgiveness on people that people cannot understand because of what we've been taught in our culture about what forgiveness might mean. When forgiveness is used as an excuse so that we don't have to deal with injustice, it's not true forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about putting people on probation. Like, haven't we all been tempted at times to forgive someone because it makes us so magnanimous that we can just, you know, I'm such a good person and I have forgiven you this one time. And you better watch out because my forgiveness is conditional. And the next time you do something that upsets me, I'm going to unforgive you for the last thing and be doubly mad. Doesn't that give us a sense of power? It does. Forgiveness is not an excuse for unjust behavior. It's not that we can just, you know, do whatever we want and then be like, oh, sorry, and expect to be forgiven. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is what radically transforms us. Starts in here. It is not necessarily relational. Forgiveness doesn't have to be an exchange between two people. I know I just said we all have to work together. Bear with me for a minute. The first step happens inside. It's when we make the choice to be transformed ourselves. Not, I will forgive you and then you'll get your life together. No. I will forgive you and my life will not be torn apart by holding on to the anger. There are things that should not be forgiven and certainly should not be forgotten. Things like the Holocaust and slavery and ethnic cleansing, exploitation of women, violence in all forms. We can forgive on some level in that we can let it go in our hearts when we have been harmed, but the greater picture we cannot forget and we must not forget. When terrible things happen, it's important to own that reality and not forget. So we hear this story in Scripture today. This familiar story that is often used when we speak of forgiveness in the church, where the disciples ask, in the church context, when my brother or my sibling harms me, how often do I forgive? And should I forgive 7 times? And Jesus responds, depending on the translation, 77 or 7 times 70 times. That the number isn't what he's actually talking about. We don't keep a list and be like, I forgave. Let me do my math, 70 times 7. It's not about the number. It's about always trusting that there is grace enough to forgive. And at the same time, he goes into this incredible story. So it's saying that we need to recognize that there is enough grace to go around, enough grace that we are able to forgive, and at the same time, cheap grace, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls it, cheap grace does not serve us well. Cheap grace is grace that we just expect. Not recognizing the cross, not recognizing the teachings of Christ, not recognizing that we are radically transformed as followers of Christ. So we hear the story of this servant. He owes an unbelievable amount of money. When we hear 10,000 talents, we're like, oh, okay, whatever that means. Maybe in our heads we think, maybe that's like $100,000. Actually, both the term 10,000 and the word talent in the ancient Greek both refer to an uncountable number. So what's being said here is an intentional hyperbole, intentional exaggeration, that this servant owed more to his master than he could ever have paid back. And what happens? Well, at first, he and his family are going to be sold, which even in this context was not something that was culturally acceptable. And he begs for forgiveness, and he is forgiven the entire debt. And is he radically transformed?
No.
No. He experiences forgiveness. He experiences losing this crushing debt that was going to destroy his life and literally tear apart his family and have them sent to different other families somewhere else. And instead, he walks away from that situation unchanged and unwilling to live into this space of radical forgiveness. With this massive debt gone, he does not even think to forgive a small debt that someone else owes him. So this brings me to the question at the end of the passage that we heard today. Do we forgive to avoid punishment? Because Jesus was pretty clear at the end. Like, this is a story I'm telling you with a point on the end. A rather sharp one. Do we forgive just so that we are not punished for forgetting to forgive? No. If we are not transformed by being forgiven, then we have already experienced the punishment in ourselves. If we are still tied down to who we used to be before this radical thing called forgiveness entered our lives, then we cannot be changed. We cannot be transformed. Mm-hmm. And that's where the pain is on the receiving end of forgiveness when we don't allow it to change us. And then when we step into the other side and we think about offering forgiveness to others. I'll share a story from Rabbi Harold Kushner. He tells about a woman in his congregation who is a single mother. She has three kids who she's struggling to support. She has to constantly tell the kids that they can't have whatever it is they want. They can't go out and do something fun. They can't go to movies because they don't have the money for it. She says, how can I forgive my ex who's living in another state, remarried, happy, comfortable? She asks him, how can you tell me to forgive him? And he answers her, I am not asking you to forgive him because what he did was acceptable. It wasn't. It was mean and selfish. I'm asking you to forgive because he doesn't deserve the power to live in your head and turn you into a bitter and angry person. Right? Don't we want to evict the people that are in our heads? The people who we are angry at and we are holding on to? Get them out of there. And we cannot get them out unless we forgive. I'm not talking about reconciliation in this moment, although we will get to that before Easter. What I'm talking about is letting go of the burden that is inside of us. Letting go of two separate things here. One is letting ourselves be forgiven and letting go of the burden that we carry for having done things wrong. I can't be the only one who has been offered forgiveness and not been able to accept it when I've made mistakes. And then also, there is the offering of forgiveness to someone else, whether or not we ever reconcile with them. Closing that chapter, evicting them from our minds so that we can have healing. He goes on to tell his congregant, you are not hurting him by holding on to that resentment, but you are hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. How can we stop hurting ourselves? We forgive because we are radically changed in the forgiving. We forgive, and yet we do not give the offender the opportunity to offend again because we are committed. Here is where we come back, stepping out of that individual sense of forgiveness into community, giving each other the opportunity to be radically transformed. Giving the offender the opportunity. Knowing we cannot undo the past and believing in our hearts, believing with our actions, believing with our whole selves that we can move forward. We can always have another chance. We can always try harder. We can always do better. The process of transformation will not be fast, and it will not be easy, as Terrell Carter tells us. But it is necessary. It is necessary for us to live in God's kingdom or kingdom here on earth. When we pray for each other, when we hold each other in our hearts, when we undo the anger without erasing the past, that is how forgiveness will transform us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.